change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Nonprofit Snapcast. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. My guest for today is Paul D'Alessandro. Paul, how are you doing?
I'm doing great today, Mickey. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for joining me. Paul is the founder at High Impact Nonprofit Advisors and D'Alessandro Inc. There's plenty there we need to talk about, plus the book that you sent to me called The Future of Fundraising, which, I'll say it now and I'll say it again. It is not a long book, but it is chock full of good information, and I know we're going to get into it. First, let's talk about your consulting work, High Impact Nonprofit Advisors and D'Alessandro Inc. What do you do? What's your specialty? Take us down that road a little bit.
So just real brief, I started in law, and I got into fundraising with the University of Notre Dame, and I'm on a major campaign, $350 million, $450 million. And I thought I'd do this, just do campaigns on my own. And so in 94, I formed a nonprofit consulting company working with education, human services, faith-based. And recently, with all the transition that's going on in the nonprofit space with impact investment companies and social good companies, I created High Impact Nonprofit Advisors to really work one-on-one and help nonprofits think about the transition and the changes that are happening in the sector, and coaching execs and development teams and major gift teams about how to adapt to change.
So what do you think is the secret to adapting to change?
Well, you've got to be agile. I tell people we've got shifting sands right now. And this is a really big space, the philanthropy sector. People, there are opportunities who see money in it, and there is a lot of money in it. And there's a lot of people out there who want to do really good things and have an impact in the world. And they're looking for different ways of accomplishing that. It's not just getting it done through a nonprofit these days.
I think you're right. It takes us, and it's a mindset, right? The whole agility thing is not even a skill set as much as it is a mindset. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Would you agree with that?
No, absolutely. I mean, I'm talking right now to somebody who wants to raise $500 million for a building in New York. It's going to be one of the premier green buildings, and it's going to deal with mental health issues. And so once they raise that and fund it, they're going to donate it. They're going to give it to a church to run and manage. So, but it's not a fundraise. It's an investment type opportunity. And it's going to spin off a ton of income too. It'll pay for itself.
That's just amazing. So in addition to doing the good old fashioned fundraising campaign, you're also helping your clients do the right kind of innovation, sustainable building, sustainable thoughts in terms of the way they approach their strategies. Is that correct?
Yes. Like you're looking at, so like the impact investment firms are looking at being in aligned with the SDGs of the United Nations, strategic development goals, and trying to raise money to fund those objectives as well. But it's not through a 501c3, because there's going to be an ROI on the investment, because some of the rules have changed. Some of the foundations have done bonds like Rockefeller. And so there's just a lot of innovation going on in the space and a lot of big money doing great things. You saw Bezos just gave $100 million to Van Jones to do whatever he wants.
Wow.
He gave two awards. There was one award to Van Jones. I forget who gave the other one. When he landed back on planet Earth, he gave two grants of $100 million for the individuals to do as they wanted.
That's amazing. Holy mackerel. So how do you then broker those transactions? How do you facilitate that kind of interaction? Is there a secret sauce to making that kind of magic happen?
Well, what I found is it's so much relational, and it's just like everything else. If you're an investment banker, it's who you know or who you can get to know. And in this space, it's making the right connections. Some of them is making the connections early on before people are even successful.
Right.
You can't just sit in your office and wait for things to happen. I gave it just a recent example. I do these little things on LinkedIn. Huntsman has given $600 million to Utah, University of Utah, but he started with small gifts. He was making like $350 a week, and he started making gifts every week off of that. So you just don't know what people could do in a lifetime or what they're going to accomplish. Another gentleman, quick, he just put his company in donor advised fund like 40 years ago. And that company, that donor advised fund, has given away over $500 million to charities.
That's just amazing. just absolutely amazing. So, I mean, I think that's what I would underline to my client nonprofits is that it is relational. You have to play the networking game with some sense of history and stewardship involved, and without even an expected initial return on the investment. It's just, you know, the size of your Rolodex is the thing that pays off to you for you in the future.
And people want to see that you're real. I have another client. They didn't take any PPP money. They sent a letter out to their constituents that they were not going to do it. And they were on the ropes. Now they have over $1.5 million in the bank because people responded to that. So, you know, it's not business as usual in this space.
So my first big question for us about the book is the future of fundraising. I want to ask why you wrote it, but I also want to ask about the specific approach to talking about the future of fundraising, because clearly you've got some perspectives about a difference between what the future of fundraising is going to look like compared to what fundraising used to look like maybe 12 months ago.
I've been looking at this for quite some time. I did a presentation. It's funny, I look back after I wrote the book, was on the future of philanthropy. And it was about L3Cs. It was at a Black Ball, a BDCon conference. And, you know, what I've noticed in my 30 years of business with this is that, you know, a lot of people are talking about things that are in the past. They look at the past, measure what the future is going to be, you know, like Giving USA, you know, and Giving USA came out and said, well, giving was great last year, but it wasn't really giving was great last year. It was great the year before because it looks at the tax returns that were filed in 20 from 19. So we still really don't know. I mean, there's some projections and we could say it was probably up. But what I've been paying attention to is how much tech has had an impact on this space and how many more players have come into this space trying to find solutions to get to donors as efficiently and effectively as possible. And one of it happens at a conference, a major nonprofit. It was one who actually did the bucket list challenge, and they had all these new donors that they never expected to have. And they wound up partnering with one of the major credit card companies, and that credit card company ran all those names and within 2 days gave them their top donor prospects.
Wow.
You know, we're taking the future. Now, I mean, I just recently spoke to a tech company, and they're doing geofencing. So in other words, you can go to a fence, and it'll geofence everybody in the room. You'll get their cell phone numbers and their names. So the prospecting is going to get so much easier. And there's, like I said, there's so many different things going on right now with shadow banning and social credit scoring and, you know, just direct the social validation stuff that's going on at Facebook. But all these terms are going to, like when I mention something like social credit scoring to somebody or shadow banning, they're like, they want to know more. But it's going to affect how you market to the donors. And my feeling is that at some point with all the technology that tech will market to the donors and they're going to come to you.
Plenty to think about here. I want to touch on a couple of the chapter titles of your book without doing the huge deep dig, because like I said, the book is chock full of some good stuff, but very, very quickly, let's just, you know, sort of scrape against some of these topics here. You talk about artificial intelligence and its impact on society. What do you think AI is going to do for nonprofits? And when I ask the question, I'm thinking of medium-sized nonprofits as well, not just the big guys who can afford, you know, whole technology departments.
Well, it's gonna really expedite or speed up, if you will, the ability to identify who your best prospects are. So artificial intelligence will give you the information, but you still have to decide what you're going to do with the information. But it's going to make things more efficient in the process, much more than, you know, like donor search or WellPoint or any of the just screening for data. It's going to be precise, and it's going to start targeting specific donors in their area. So I just have a simple example. You go to the pet store and you're searching, you buy a food online for your pet, and there's a humane society in your town. Artificial intelligence can pull up your nonprofit to that person who's shopping at the pet food store in the domain center and say, hey, you know, there's a shelter in your town. You might want to support them. And it's amazing what's going to happen. It's constantly learning. I actually heard a story where they had two AI machines talking to each other, and they both kind of figured out that people were listening, so they stopped talking to each other. They created their own language.
Huh. You know, I think I heard about that.
Yeah, so it's scary. So some of the guys have just unplugged machines, but that's not going to help. It's not going to be fast enough.
The next question I want to touch on real quick is one of your chapters you asked the question, is privacy for everyone, including donors, dead? And I think that's a question that's worth answering. And of course, it's not a simple yes or no answer, is it?
No, it's not. You know, the government's going to affect, I mean, they won the case in the Supreme Court on donor privacy recently, which protects the names of donors. But, you know, there's still, people are still trying to chip away to find out who the donors are. In Europe, it's different. You know, it's going to affect direct mail houses. It's not going to affect like Google and Facebook because they own all those names. But, you know, as people shopping names, it's going to have effect on. And then donors are going to say, hey, and they could do this actually now. They could go into a nonprofit and say, I want to see all the information you have on me. And so all those little things like, you know, this person's really great, but he's a little off, you know, with this, you know, and then that can cause another set of problems.
I think the educated nonprofit executive is going to have to, you know, get up on GDPR. Is it GDPR?
Yes.
Am I getting that acronym correct? And figure out what legislation says and make some plans. Is it something that a nonprofit's going to have to develop their own policies around in terms of how they protect their own data? Is that the upshot of all this?
Yeah. I mean, the government wants that data. So they want to know, you know, it really starts political, but, you know, charities are now becoming so political. I mean, there's a left and right. There's left and right in churches. There's left and right in politics. There's left and right in charities.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. What is social impact investing?
Social impact investing really is people taking private dollars to really to do good with a return on investment and keep churning it. And that's kind of the things I'm talking about with, you know, SDGs for the United Nations. I mean, there's a lot of money in some impact investment funds right now, and they're trying to deploy funds to have a great impact, but get a return on that money, and then redeploy it.
So, what does a nonprofit, a small to medium sized nonprofit, need to know about social impact investing?
Well, I think you know, there's you know, ultimately is how do you accomplish the mission that you're doing, right? And so the old school of thought or the traditional school of thought is let's just go out, talk to donors, raise money, do direct mail. But perhaps there might be a way to do it that's not under the umbrella of a 501c3, but maybe with impact investment dollars that creates a revenue that can get paid back and you can be self-sustaining. I mean, ultimately what I think is if you're a nonprofit and you only survive on charitable dollars, you're going to have a hard time in the future. Because there's a lot of nonprofits that are getting revenue streams that are profitable. I mentioned in my book, you know, Habitat for Humanity's Restores, you know, they fund a lot of the operations of the affiliates around the country.
And it's an amazing model.
Yep.
I'm skipping around here, so forgive me. And I don't want to give away all your secrets, but let's talk about blockchain and philanthropy, you know, cryptocurrencies and things like that. Is crypto going to be readily available to all nonprofits?
Yeah. I mean, I spoke to a nonprofit in Indiana just this week, and they are going to start accepting crypto as gifts into their charity. I mean, there are two funds that just are funded with cryptocurrency. And blockchain's a little differently. You know, people are still trying to get their hands around it, but blockchain kind of allows for people to see the trace, you know, where the dollar goes. But it also, on international transactions, it cuts the fees down. And, you know, it's just a little more seamless thing.
The last thing I want to touch on, and there's a couple chapters here that I'm like, okay, that could be a book on its own.
Yeah.
You know, Dirty Little Secrets About Fundraiser Compensation. I think that's an excellent topic and stuff that we should all be talking about. But the last one I wanted you and I to converse about is diaspora giving and the immigrant nation. What is that all about?
Well, you know, I did a lot of work with Habitat for Humanity International, and I really learned about diaspora giving, which is money from local nationals that are in the United States sending money back in country, you know. And so, you know, in the past, if you take a look at undocumented immigrants that from Mexico, just in particular, they would come over, they would work, but they'd send a lot of money back to their families. And it's still going on. I mean, there's a lot of that. But that's, you know, diaspora giving is money that comes from one country going into another country. And so, we started years ago. I think when I started this business, there was like 400,000 nonprofits. Now there's 1.6 million. But it's what's also really impactful is so many international nonprofits. So I've been to Europe a bunch, and you have people in Europe coming to the United States to get money, or from the UK. You have people here sending money overseas. So that's what really that's all about, is the transfer of funds across borders. And, for Mexico, it was a significant part of the GDP, which after oil was like money coming back out of the United States.
Not to get into politics, but do you think that hurts us or does that help us?
Well, I think the intent is really to help society and do good. So I think it hurts us in the sense because there's no real tax accountability for some of it. But it helps us because, we're a charitable nation wanting to help people who don't have what we have. We have so much.
Right.
But we're not alone. And Netherlands is considered a funding nation, and they'll raise money. They'll send money to South America and Central America. So we're not alone in this. And I just had a discussion of, is the United States the most charitable country in the world? And some people say it is, and some people say it depends on, if you Google it, it's not always ranked number one.
Exactly. Again, there's a lot in this little book to unpack. There's quite a bit to chew through and digest for being such a compact publication. And I'm glad you sent it to me, and I'm glad that you allowed me to read it before we do this episode. Is there any one or two things you want to make sure your reader gets out of this book that they should be keeping an eye out for?
Yeah, I think the last chapter really has to do with donor intent. And a lot of what I've learned comes from reading, but also a lot of donor conversations and what they're doing to have, because, they want to do good. I always tell people, it's not what you need, it's what they need, and they want to do good. And if you can't get it done, they're going to find a way to get that. So you've got to talk to the donors.
That's right. It's all about the relationships and stewardships of those relationships. Just keeps going back to brass tacks. That's right. Paul, this is excellent stuff. If a listener wanted to find the book or learn more about you and your consulting practices, how would you suggest they go about doing that?
So the book's on Amazon. It's $9.99. I didn't write it to become a bestseller, but it's The Future Fundraising by Paul D'Alessandro. And then just to send me an email at paul@highimpactnonprofit.com.
Got it. The Future of Fundraising. It's excellent stuff. And if you have trouble, if my listeners have trouble finding it, just drop me a line and I'll point you in the right direction. But Paul, thank you for being my guest today. I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation, and I hope we could do more of these in the future.
Yeah, thanks so much, Mickey. I'm grateful.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.